This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Caleb Williams is ready to go for tonight. Ready to be a quarterback in the NFC North, even against his former USC guy, Amon-Ra St. Brown, who got paid. Because that's not the only news. The draft today in the NFL, yeah, some contract extensions as well. The playoffs continue both on the ice and on the court. We'll definitely have to talk about that. The Miami Heat lighting it up from three and somehow making a series out of things with Boston. That could be a part of the conversation this morning. But we are now just 11 hours away from the NFL draft. What are we watching for? How are we going to bet it in the places where you can bet it? And what will change teams' fortunes for the 2024 season and beyond? Tonight, when it all gets started at 8 o'clock in Detroit, it's BetQL Daily presented by BetMGM. Chris Mack alongside Joe Ostrowski and Aaron Hawksworth. We got a huge show planned for you. Our own BetQL Daily mock draft. See if we can get through at least the top 10 of the first round in the final hour of the show. After we talk to Matthew Friedman of Fantasy Life, he'll give us his latest angles and latest mock draft as well. Odyssey NFL insider Jason LaCanfora at 10:20 a.m. Eastern, right after we catch up with Cam Smith of Live on the Line to talk about those NBA playoffs I just mentioned. OKC does what a one seed is supposed to do at home. And like I said, Miami perhaps does something we did not expect against a one seed at home. NFL draft best bets throughout the show, maybe even some draft day drinking games for you who want to make a party of it tonight. By all means, we welcome you to do so. But here we are live coast to coast on the BetQL Network, wherever you may be in the world, on your Odyssey app. Download it today and take us with you. AUDACY. It's free. And then whether you're at home, you're in the car, you're at work, you're at the gym, you're at the store, whatever you're doing, you got BetQL Daily with you, including on demand in podcast form, wherever you get your podcasts. Ton of info on the screen today, so you want to make sure if you can, you're watching the show, whether it's primary on your first screen or on your secondary screen, twitch.tv/BetQL and YouTube. Just search Odyssey Sports. Who knows what stadium he may play in a few years, Joe, but we know Caleb Williams is going to be a Chicago Bear. And from there, who knows where it goes tonight?
I think we have a pretty strong idea that it's going to be Jaden Daniels at number two. I think so. Now, I've been saying all along, we don't know after one. I think the morning of the draft that we have a strong idea. Now, after that is when it really gets interesting. You know, we've been saying for a while that you can make the argument that the draft starts at number five as well. And holy cow, people very close to that organization, what they have been saying since late last night, what? Now it's Latham if they stand pat? That's what Daniel Jeremiah has in his final mock, as I've been spending my morning catching up on everybody's final mock draft. That would be fascinating. It kind of fits the way their offensive line sets and the pieces that they have and the head coach that they brought in. Like, I'm fascinated with that angle. But, you know, quarterbacks, we always go to the quarterbacks. If it is Daniels, what did the Patriots do at three? it's obvious they're going quarterback. It's just a matter of which quarterback. And the one they don't take, is that the one that falls? I'm thinking it's going to be McCarthy at three. That's where I'm at. McCarthy to New England. Now, does someone trade up for May to that Arizona spot? I don't know. There's always a faller. Could May fall a little bit, but maybe not too far. Oh, man, I can't wait. Even when we think we know we have it all figured out, we have no idea. We're going to see odds that are minus 500 on guys, and they're going to be dead wrong when we get to the draft tonight.
Yeah, and the trades are fascinating. What could happen there, like in the top five, you know, because Marvin Harrison Jr. to four seems like a lock, but if he's still available, do the Chargers go there? Are they set on an offensive lineman? Are they looking to trade? So many fascinating things that could happen. But the Latham stuff, Joe, I did not see that coming. It's been Joe Alt, I thought, there, and now looks like they're focused on Latham. I guess because you've got a new head coach and then a new GM there coming from the Ravens organization, just it seems like he does want an offensive lineman from what I was reading this morning, but really, who knows?
Maybe throwing people off the scent. One last smoke signal to try and get people off the scent, perhaps. Maybe it's not even an offensive lineman at all at number five. Maybe they look at it and say, man, our receiving core was ravaged this offseason. Wasn't exactly very healthy most of the last couple of years to begin with, but our guy we took last year doesn't necessarily look like a wide receiver one. There's Malik Nabers maybe sitting there at number five. And I tend to agree with you, Joe, that I think J.J. McCarthy ends up with the Patriots, but not at number three. I think it happens at number six. I think we get a deal between three and six, and the Giants make the move up to three for Drake May, as that chatter has increased in the last couple of days as well. Giants know they can't go into another season, or at least into the future, I guess I should say, with Daniel Jones as the guy. They know he's not the guy. They've told anybody who's willing to listen behind the scenes, hey, don't tell anyone that he's not our guy, but he's not our guy. And they're okay with trading up to three. They don't have to give up too much. The Patriots still get to move back and get their quarterback, who Robert Kraft has said, we got to have a quarterback. And oh, by the way, you want to make an old man happy? Give him something that reminds of him of something he used to have. A Michigan quarterback. And oh, yeah, Robert Kraft would love that. I think it works out perfectly that we see May go number three to the Giants, and the Patriots sit at six and nab McCarthy. Maybe that's just the narrative in my head, though.
Okay, so I agree with about half of that. I agree that the Giants need to take a quarterback. They do. But I don't think they have to move up. You know, with what I just threw out there, and I'm not seeing anybody mock this, is just what I was thinking. I do think that they need to take a quarterback while everybody is pretty much mocking them to take wide receiver. Most people have Nabers. They've had Nabers for quite some time. I'm not sure if that pans out, but you need a quarterback bad. Could they sit there and the one they want fall to them? And you said they wouldn't have to give up that much. I don't know that we know that. We've seen many, many years where teams move up one spot to secure that they get their guy, and they are mortgaging the future, especially when you're talking about those top few picks in the draft. So I think there's a chance where, if May's their guy, what I threw out there about McCarthy going three, wide receiver four, O-lineman five, and May could fall to them at six, which haven't seen anybody have. And I was actually looking at that. Drake May, number six overall, 22-1.
Ooh.
It's a good number if you like that scenario, Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, I think that could happen unless some other team makes a trade up to get May that we're not thinking of. There are a lot of teams that need quarterbacks, but I don't know. I mean, could the Vikings trade up and grab someone?
That's where Denver and Minnesota come into the conversation. Maybe even Vegas, right? More smoke this morning. Jaden Daniels can't get 3 minutes through an interview without somebody asking him about Antonio Pierce and what he would think of playing with the Raiders, and he always gives a glowing review of Antonio Pierce and then dials it back just enough to say, oh, I want to play wherever somebody wants me. He's answering all the questions correctly, but aside from Daniels, which, like we've said, is pretty much in ink at number two, there is the idea of Denver and Minnesota making a run to get up there to where they get the guy that they want. Are they in play at number three? What this tells us is that, kind of like you said off the hop there, Joe, it all starts at number three. New England can choose to take the guy that they like, or they can move back a couple spots, or they could move back, move way back if they really want to, and then maybe try to move back up. Like four and five, we know Arizona and the Chargers are not going quarterback. I think we can say that much. they're not going quarterback, but at six, depending on who's on the board there, definitely quarterback in play. And that's why if you're the Patriots, you don't want to move back any farther than six, unless you think you can move back up to four or five and essentially get your second pick. It's all over the place, but this is what's going to make tonight fun.
Man, I know. And I'm just looking at all these that are posted. It seems like not everybody, but most of the final mocks are May 3, Harrison 4. And I think that's where things shake up a little bit. I'm not buying into the neighbors before Harrison stuff. Yeah. It's a possibility. It's possible. Dane Brugler, his latest mock, Caleb Daniels, May Harrison. That's where a lot of people have it. But he has McCarthy 5.
To
obviously, there's a trade out there.
Yeah,
I'm just looking at the numbers. Yeah, Adunze, Alt. See, like, you're saying Giants 6, that they need to go quarterback. I don't have the Titans at 7 plugged in offensive linemen like everybody else seems to have. If one of those top few receivers falls, especially top two, I could see them making a move there.
Yeah, that's what Schrager has, right? The Vikings trading with the Titans to get McCarthy.
Yeah, I believe so.
At 7?
Yeah. I mean, I wonder, it's a great question how Tennessee views their own roster, right? Like, does Rand Carthen look at his, especially offensive side of the ball and go, okay, yeah, we're all right going forward into this season with this, knowing that quarterback is a three-headed question mark led by Will Levis. Running back is, I guess, Pollard with Ty J Spears as the compliment. All right. I don't totally hate it. And then again, at wide receiver, an aging DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley in the mix now, and Treylon Burks, who didn't really show a ton last year. I could see them being okay with that at the skill positions while they try to further build out the offensive line. They went out and signed Cushenberry in the offseason. That doesn't mean they've got a second round pick at one tackle. They've got a third round pick at the other tackle, Skoronski inside, who maybe they could push out to tackle if they wanted to. They've still got some moves that I think it makes too much sense for them to go offensive line there. I get it though. Like we said yesterday, don't get too cute. Don't overthink things, because the second you do that, you end up maybe going with a wide receiver there at 7 instead of offensive line. I think O-line makes a ton of sense for them there, though, in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. It does. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it a lot. It's the wide receiver, 6.5. We'll go over some of our bets. It just feels like that's just going to be decided at the very end of the first round, because there are so many teams where you could envision them going. I mean, that run, like we talk about the quarterback run, possibly 11, 12, 13. Well, the wide receiver run, it appears that would be late in the first round. Like, what at 27, if Arizona doesn't get a wide receiver early on, they could go wide receiver there. Of course, Buffalo, everybody has Buffalo taking a receiver. At the very end of the first round is probably when that bet gets decided. 29, San Francisco, I'd rather 31, San Francisco, 32, KC. I know wide receiver not a big need for the Niners, but people connected to that organization do have them taking a wide receiver in that spot. So that's why it's interesting. That's 6.5. That's probably going to come down to the very end tonight.
Yeah. So many good wide receivers too in this draft. I would think that that one does go over, but who knows? I mean, with all the trades and people desperate for quarterbacks, I still think Penix and Nix will get into the first round.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how much it costs to trade back into the late first round and how the dynamics around the Rams may be looking for a successor to Matt Stafford at 29 affects that buyback into the late first round. Who are you dealing with to get back into the late first round and maybe jump the Rams for one of those quarterbacks if you have an interest in one of them? Or do the Rams themselves trade out of the first round yet again? Because that's just, you know, that's their philosophy. Bleep them picks, right? And try to acquire something else to move back, or maybe actually gather picks later in the draft for what may be deeper at other positions. One position we didn't even talk about yet, and there's been a lot of names thrown out for who could be the first at this position. We'll get into next some of our NFL draft best bets as we continue throughout the day. Jason Lockenfour, a little more than an hour from now. Cam Smith of Live on the Line at 10 a.m. Eastern to get into the NBA playoffs as well. But it's draft day here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's draft day, and we are ready to go all morning long. I know we've still got a little over 10 and a half hours to go until things officially get started in Detroit for the 2024 NFL Draft, but we're looking at absolutely every single angle of it. Who could trade up? Who might trade back? Who's going quarterback? How many go in the first round? Offensive linemen, where do they go? Who's the first one? How many in the first round? So many different things to think about. And that's for the first round as a whole. We're not even getting into what your specific team may do as well. Our own BetQL Daily mock draft. We'll get through as many picks in the first round as we can. later in the third hour of the show, right around 11:20 Eastern. Matthew Friedman at the top of that third hour, 11 a.m. Eastern from Fantasy Life, to give us his angles on tonight's first round of the NFL draft. Jason LaConfora, Odyssey NFL Insider, released his one and only mock draft for the Washington Post yesterday. How does he think things shake out, especially with quarterbacks at the top of this draft, once we get past Caleb Williams to Chicago and Jaden Daniels to Washington? Got to talk about what the Heat did in Boston last night. Got to talk about OKC New Orleans, plus everything else going on in the NBA playoffs. Three big games tonight, including an opportunity for the Knicks to go up 3-0 on the Sixers in Philly. Can they do that? They're not favored to. Cam Smith will join us from BetMGM's Live on the Line at 10 Eastern to talk about all of it here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM alongside Aaron Hawksworth and Joe Ostrowski. I'm Chris Mack, and you can listen to us wherever you may be in the world on your Odyssey app, AUDACY. We didn't even touch on defensive players, guys. We spent the whole first segment naturally talking about who goes third, who goes sixth. Is it McCarthy ahead of May? Do the Patriots trade out of three? Who trades up to that spot if it's not the Giants? Is it Minnesota? Is it Denver? And we didn't even get to who the first defensive lineman or edge player off the board could be. It's still almost even money where I'm looking anyway for it to be Dallas Turner, plus 105. Dallas Turner, the edge rusher, we've seen him mocked over and over and over again, Joe, to the Atlanta Falcons at 8. Byron Murphy, though, plus 175. Leiatu Latu, plus 180. So right there about even with Byron Murphy in most spots. Jared Verse, who was getting a lot of smoke earlier in the draft process, the edge out of Florida State, all the way back at 40-1. I think it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out and where these players go. It seems like 8 is the spot where the defensive side of the draft starts anyway with Atlanta.
Maybe. I've got another possibility there with Atlanta, but that's okay. What everybody has plugged in there for quite some time. Now, it's not, I don't see it being Turner. He's been falling. Anybody paying attention? Mm-hmm. That's what everybody's been saying in the know. Verse has taken a free fall. There was a time when people were mocking Verse in that 8-9 range, and now I see him in the latter half of the first round. If you're telling me to make a pick, my pick is Byron Murphy for the first defensive player drafted, but the problem is the value's being, it's just so gone on this. It's just so shot. However, if you strongly believe in it, is it worth a bet with the information that we have at this moment at nearly 2-1? It probably is. It feels like, oh man, I wish I had the 3, you know, when it was like 4 or 5 in that range. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you learn more, you hear more opinions, and these are people in the know in the industry talking to a lot of people. So I would consider Murphy to be the pick there. There is another defensive angle I would go, but if I'm just making a pick, if I'm just making a bet, yeah, it's not the best of the number, but I would go Murphy.
I think it's interesting that it could be Dallas Turner all along, the, you know, SEC player of the year. I like Schrager's thoughts there that, you know, maybe that's what they do. The Falcons go defense because obviously they don't need offensive there. It might not be the smartest decision for them. But then Brugler has the Jets making a trade and grabbing Malik Nabers there. So maybe you just go with whatever, you know, the better plus money is, because it doesn't seem like anyone knows for sure.
See, it's, so there's two.
Nabers is falling. I don't know why, but Nabers is falling this morning. Like, I've seen some people saying him at 9. I'm like, if he's here at 9, you don't want to be here in the morning. We're going to, if the Bears draft Caleb Williams and Malik Nabers at 1 and 9,
yeah,
what the hell? I'm going to change my, wow. I'll be all over some Bears futures. I'll tell you that much.
There's a couple angles to that thought, Aaron. One is, I don't see Nabers sliding that far either. I could see Adunze sliding just a little bit if the Bears decide to go defense at 9, which wouldn't totally shock me. And you know Chicago better than I do, Joe. But given that they went out and got Keenan Allen in the offseason, I think you look at Adunze and say, okay, this is a plug-and-play guy, plug-and-play starter at receiver. Do we have enough snaps to go around if we can? Is that the what we want to go get at nine if we can use that draft capital on an impact defensive player instead? That's where I go with the Neighbors Adunze line of thinking. I think Neighbors goes, if not five to the Chargers, where they've got to be starving for a wide receiver, then certainly somebody moves up and takes him. If it's not the Giants staying put at six taking him, if it's not Tennessee considering it, if Joe Alt has gone earlier, I can see multiple spots for Neighbors. I don't think he ever gets to Atlanta eight or certainly Chicago nine. Adunze, I could see sliding a good bit if he doesn't go to Chicago at nine. Back to the defensive angle of this, though. And if Byron Murphy is the play, and I like that, I'll include it in lightning bets earlier, but I'll mention it right now as well. I do like it, even though the value may not be what it once was, close to 2-1. I'll take Byron Murphy as the first defensive lineman slash edge to go in the draft. I think he goes 8 to Atlanta. I think the Dallas Turner, what we've seen in the cooling off for him, does lead him to fall down the board. I could see Dallas Turner falling all the way into the teens. Like, I could see Latu going ahead of him. You know, Jerhan Newton is another name that's popped up who is catching some late steam. Maybe not on the odds boards, but definitely I've seen his name pop up more in mocks towards the teens. Maybe not as high as, like, 14, 15, but it's up there. I just think it's interesting. You have to look at how each team stacks up. Now, Atlanta, for instance, could Atlanta use another edge? Sure, they could. Mm-hmm. They could go Latu. They could even go Dallas Turner. That could still be the pick. Jared Verse is an outside shot. But I think they need to bolster more inside on the defensive front, and that's why I think Byron Murphy ends up being the play there for them. That's what's interesting to me is how teams want to build, because we talked about this toward the end of the regular season, how it has taken a turn toward defense in the last couple of years. I think teams want to be able to use interior defensive players who can not only stuff the run, but can get after the quarterback. That dual skill set, if you can do both, then a defense can be balanced without having to take big men off the field and in passing situations. I think you see guys like Byron Murphy, Newton is another one that I mentioned. Those are the kind of guys that can do that. It's not a pure edge rusher who just lines up, pins his ears back, and goes after the quarterback.
Yeah. The other defensive move that I would make is, if you look at number of defensive players drafted in the – no, I'm sorry, defensive line slash edge in the first round, number 6.5, heavily juiced to the under. But we just named four locked-in guys, and you threw a couple of others out there. Turner, Verse, Murphy, Latu, locked in, probably first half of the first round. But they're definitely going in the first round, right? So now we're at four, and you need three more to get to the over. I have Chop Robinson going first round. 94% of mocks have him going in the first round. I'm with that. You mentioned Newton. He's mocked around 26, 27. Probably. Not a lock, but most likely. So now we're at six. We need one more for the over, and it's heavily juiced to the under. And then you add Darius Robinson. So you're giving me 2-1, and I need to get to that seven number. Now, it's not a possibility where there's going to be eight. I don't see that. But we got to get to seven. I think we can. Since you're giving me 2-1 odds, I'm still with that bet. D-line edge over 6.5.
I like that. I think it also lines up to like another defensive bet that I like. I wouldn't bet it, but it does seem like the number of corners is probably going under 5.5. It's heavily juiced, but I don't think there's room for over 5.5 corners with all the edge and the other defensive players, plus all the quarterbacks and receivers too. I don't think there'll be that many corners in the first round.
I struggle, guys, to get to four or five corners.
Four.
Like, you know, I mean, Arnold from Alabama, and that's a lock first round. Mitchell from Toledo.
Mitchell, like, those Kool-Aid, are all I think he'll locks. Get in.
I think Kool-Aid's late first round. You know, if he slides down to a Baltimore and they jump on it, I wouldn't be surprised. But if I'm Baltimore and I'm sitting there and I've got a choice between, say, Cooper DeJean and Kool-Aid McKinstry, which is a possibility, I think about versatility. DeJean a little more versatile. He can line up inside the formation. He can play as a little bit more of a hybrid safety, nickelback at times. McKinstry, just an outside corner. I want him to run with receivers all over the field. And we didn't even mention Nate Wiggins out of Clemson, who's a borderline guy as well. So there's a lot of borderline, I think, in the corner market once you get to especially four, but even three, I think, Joe. Three corners in the first round is I'm not totally sold on that. If two go early, Detroit sitting there late in the first round, I think they have to go corner. But if the ones they like go off the board, I mean, could we get through the first round with less than four corners? I think that's a possibility.
Yeah, they should move the number. This is stupid. Like, if you want to entice some action, it's minus 400 on the under 5.5. Who's betting that? I'm not.
Exactly.
I mean, because stupid things happen. Like Rake Straw, yeah, projected 40, 41, but, you know, there could be a team that loves him 8-9 picks higher, and then your minus 400 bet's a loser. So, yeah. not going there.
There's one other one that I can't get past as just I don't get it. And I mentioned it earlier in the week just in passing, but I looked at it again this morning, and I talked about Roma Dunze, who I feel like the draft for him starts at 9. Unless there's something weird that happens where, you know, Tennessee or Atlanta decides they have to add a receiver to the mix. Maybe. But the draft for Roma Dunze starts at 9, whether Neighbors slides or not. And the over-under on his position is 8.5, and it's even money on the over, at least where I'm looking. Absolutely. Yeah, I don't like see that. A Dunze going any earlier than 9.
I wrote that too. I think 9 or 10. That's one of my favorites. The over 8.5 for a Dunze.
I can
a
see
Dunza or a Dunze. Can we get a formal pronunciation on this guy's last name? Because I've heard both.
A Dunze has a little more, you know, cachet, right? Like Roma Dunze.
Yes.
That's stupid. I don't know what I'm talking about. I could see him slide all the way to Denver at 12, Joe.
Yeah. I don't know which team's taken him before 9, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible, but I could see the slide. So as long as we're talking about receivers, we've talked about this a lot with our guests, that number of 6.5, it is heavily juiced to the under. And I understand that Harrison, Neighbors, Dunze, whatever. Three, you got the three. I'm pretty sure that Brian Thomas is going. Now, there's injury concern there, but now you're at 4. And like I had mentioned, it's probably going to be decided by the end, like Buffalo, KC, San Francisco, what are those teams going to do? But you have the two Texas guys. Are they going to go? If they do, with Mitchell and Worthy, if they do, now you're at 6, and then we get to McConkey. I think it's worth a shot because of the price you're getting at nearly 3-1. I see a plus 290 out there on over 6.5 receivers. I understand why the under is the favorite. If you're asking me to make a prediction, I would say under 6.5. But because it's 3-1 and it's probably going to come down to the very end there, I think there is a chance we get a run on receivers there and it ends up going over.
I like that also because of the value. And maybe people think like historically, you know, don't draft a receiver too high. One will fall. You can get, you know, from a front office perspective, wait. But I could all these great receivers that this does go over. And I like that at plus 240.
Yeah, I think the hinge point on receiver is the team in my backyard. I don't expect them to go receiver first round. But that possibility exists. If there's a run on offensive linemen and there isn't one that the Steelers like at 20, I could see them going receiver. And like I said, that's the hinge point. Because if they go with, you know, let's say they go with Mitchell there, you know, would that shock anybody? You know, Thomas is available. And then after that, Cowboys could go receiver. Tampa could go receiver. We know Buffalo almost has to go receiver. Almost has to go receiver. How much do these teams value that second tier of receivers in the late third of the first round? Or do they all look at it together and say, we'll wait for tomorrow because it's receiver and it's a deep class? all of these things, I probably just dropped like 13 cliches in the last 30 seconds. Speaking of which, a drinking game for every cliche next right here as we go off the board on BetQL Daily.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Welcome back to BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. Joe Ostrowski, Chris Mack, Aaron Hawksworth with you. It is draft day. We love it on our show. We're thinking about some NFL draft drinking games. So we're going to brainstorm and come up with some ideas for you to follow along tonight. But first, you got to watch us on Twitch. The guys on there, the regulars, they've cooked up a parlay. And okay. They're calling it the Smoker's Lounge Parlay. So if you want to tail this, I'll read it off to you. Number one, it's an exact order, which is fun. Top four picks, exact order. One is Caleb Williams. Two, mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels. Three, J.J. McCarthy. Four, Malik Nabers. And it's 150-1. It's not bad.
That's 150?
Yeah.
Because I was looking at one similar to that, and I did not see that good of a number. They'll have to let us know where they saw that one. That's funny. I wrote that down, top four exact order, but I must have looked somewhere different because I didn't get a number that good. Yeah, Caleb Daniels, McCarthy, Nabers, you said, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had the exact same bet.
Wow.
They're going to have to let us know where they got it. Because I saw 65.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That's a good one.
Well, unless they bet it yesterday and are just telling me about it now, and the value has drastically gone down, which is
crazy. Possible. Like, I was making bets before the show, and I would click on something, and then something would go from after I click on it, it would, you know, blink red and go 23 down to 11-1. Stuff is moving insane right now.
Well, this is when all the actionable information is supposed to come in, right? This is Belichick and other people have said you don't get an accurate mock draft until the last 24 hours, because this is when people actually start to gain the willingness to tell you what they may really do, and things start to crystallize a little bit. So, yeah, I thought that number would be bigger too, but like you said, it probably moved.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get to our drinking game. How do we want to like set this up? Like you take a sip, you chug, you got to set.
What?
A sip.
What is our goal here? Do we want to get messed up?
I don't want to get wasted. I'd like to enjoy the draft, and I probably won't pay attention if I'm drinking too much, right?
I mean, you might enjoy it even more. Yeah.
Draft a little more fun.
It'll be great. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Problem is, got to work on Friday morning, so that's a little bit of an issue. But what's our goal? Let's set that. Because if the goal is to get annihilated, like I have some ideas, but also if we want to play it in the middle, we can do whatever.
Yeah. Well, where are you thinking we should start? Because we can start with the obvious, like he's a freak athlete or high motor, stuff like that. Or do we want to get more specific? Should we have different tiers? How do you want to play it? Or just come up with a few for our show and not make it too complicated.
Yeah, it's got to be. I like the classic cliches, the guy that works in a phone booth, the high motor, that kind of stuff. That's all
student you know of you're the getting game. A couple.
Yeah, you're getting at least a few of those. Plus, I got to think there's some. Roger Goodell's going to go out of his way to say something that he thinks is funny but sort of trying to embrace the city of Detroit for hosting the draft. I just see some real awkwardness from Roger Goodell early on. Maybe it's the M&M commercial where they're trying to make things funny and you can feel it's forced. I've seen that a couple times. And it's like, hey, Roger Goodell isn't funny anymore. Never was, really. B, Eminem, I like, Eminem is our generation. Like, anybody under the age of 30, not identifying with Eminem at all. So, like, we're trying really hard, the NFL is, to make this about Detroit. It's like, no, this just happens to be where you're having the draft this year. This isn't like Nashville when it was a big party, or, you know, even Kansas City where they did a good job. It's Detroit.
Chicago. Yeah.
It's Detroit.
Okay, but we need a Detroit-related one, so I'm thinking every time you see a Barry Sanders jersey, you got to do a shot.
Oh boy. Love that.
Okay. A shot?
You're going to be blacked out by 7:05.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think every team is represented. There are idiots that drive from all over the country wearing their jerseys. It's not just going to be Lions jerseys. You think it will be?
There's going to be a heavy Rust Belt contingent because Cleveland, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Chicago, all within Indy, Cincy even, all within driving distance of Detroit. So
if you have a high pick. There's going to be Bears fans. They have two top
Bears. Bears fans will make that trip. They're probably in the area anyway, I would think.
Yes.
But what Jake said, one overhead shot and you're dead. One overhead like swinging three, shot four, over five, the six, crowd seven, and nine, you're dead.
13 shots. Yeah. There you go.
That would count as one.
I mean, if you that would, yeah, that's like, hey, I agree with Joe. If you want to get after it, go for it with that strategy. But I would count that as one personally.
You're gonna have your stomach pumped later. Sure, go ahead.
But you do have to chug a full beer every time there is a white guy cliche. Every single time.
Okay.
Because those are my favorites. Aaron mentioned student of the game, like I mentioned yesterday. The lunch pail guy, the gamer, scrappy. Football
Gritty.
IQ, gym rat, Grinder. Heart. Yeah, yeah. All the white guys.
Draft and develop.
I mean, again, though, like McCarthy, May, and Alt go in the top 10. You're pretty drunk by like set by like half past.
No, because you know what? Even if they go in, let's say they go in the top five, they could be picked an hour apart. You know what I mean? Like, or
okay,
like
so
top
what's,
10.
Right. Let's develop something every time. Do we do something every time there's a trade? A trade?
Yes, that's on my list. Okay. Trade has to be on there.
So is it a finish the drink? Is it a shot? What is it?
Gold drink soccer. The seconds, the difference in, like if it's from 11 to 4, you drink 7 seconds.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
What if you trade out of the first round? What if
bye?
Take a gummy. Yeah.
Wake you up in the morning. Don't worry.
Right. What you've got to do something every time there's a pick.
Oh, Joe's just trying to get us all hammered so we don't even remember anything after the top 10.
You were complaining about how long you have to wait between picks, so you should.
You
be
should
all
right. do one for like if Goodell does a hug or a dap up, like how he greets whoever is up on stage.
Again, we're trying to get hammered, aren't we?
I want no Goodell.
It's a kickball Thursday.
Every time you see a player on their phone.
Okay. Mm. Is that a finish the drink?
They're all on going to be on the phone. Joe is definitely trying to get the people wasted. I think if someone's girlfriend
does
something crazy or questionable.
Girlfriends are worth the drink. Yeah. What the girlfriend is doing.
Russell Wilson.
It could be
like the CD Lamb.
It could be trying to get too much attention. it's subjective, but if you think there's some questionable behavior by a girlfriend,
that reminds you of CD Lamb's girlfriend and him having to, you know, the grabbing of the phone, anything like that, that's a drink. That kind of girlfriend activity.
Anytime you see a girlfriend and you think, she's gone after tonight, it's a wrap.
Yes!
You've peaked, girl.
Yeah. Yep. For sure.
Should we make a Levis bet? Like the guy, like you have to drink every time they don't get picked if they fall. Is that the JJ?
Oh, like, that's a good one.
Like what? That maybe
his girl. It was him and his girlfriend were like the last two people left in the room.
They don't do that anymore, though. They try not to, right? They try not to embarrass people. And...
Yeah, but like JJ's number is 5. It's weird, actually. There's a 5.5 and there's a 10.5 at the same book. It's almost like, are you betting he goes under 5 or is he going over 10? But he would be an example, like, if he doesn't go in the top 5, you drink every time he doesn't get picked because he keeps falling. But there is a ceiling there. Or 4. Like, I mean, you're getting to, what, 11 at the latest, probably.
Yeah. If we're doing McCarthy drinks, then it's something between 5 and 10. And then every time you get past 10, it's another drink. Like, that's...
Can't wait for him to be a Patriot.
The McCarthy Jim Harbaugh references too seem like a reason to drink if they're Jim really likes him.
Yep. What about when we get the life story on these players, they try to tug at heartstrings. If a dead relative is brought up. That's where it's
gotta be a shot.
A shot, right? Yeah. It's gonna happen a few times.
There's not as much off the field issues this year. Like
here's the problem
that we've seen.
Oh, red flag. Yeah. You don't get to a point where the dead relative stories come up until I think you're probably past like 12 or 13, because that's where all the action's going to be happening.
Round.
Feels like mid to late first round is where the things start to breathe a little bit. Or in the case of the dead relative, not breathe. Oh, that was sorry. I'm terrible.
Nice. Wow. Nice.
I'm listening to too much bet slips and bat flips and Mr. Jake.
Morbid.
What?
Yeah. That sounds like a thing you would have said. It's got to be later. And then the shots, they pile up fast. And before you know it, you don't even make it to the end of the first round.
What about if they show any footage of Aaron Rodgers or Brady Quinn sitting in there, any throwback draft day video of them?
Uncomfortable green room moment.
I can't get enough
or
of
even
Aaron
Levis
Rodgers.
For that matter.
Yeah. Levis. Which is so good.
Yeah. Who's going to watch ABC? Reese Davis, Kirk Herbstreit, Desmond Howard, Field Yates, Thamel. Get up. Herbstreit doesn't even know the NFL, and he calls the NFL.
Is there a Mannings? They should do an alternate broadcast with the Mannings. That would be fun.
McAfee's on a ESPN Plus YouTube TikTok thing.
I'm good. I like Pat.
I'm good.
Yeah, let's all
totally
go to TikTok
good.
For that.
I'm not. Not interested.
Jason Luck in 4 and 25 minutes. What's he think of the way things are going to go down tonight? But there's NBA playoffs to talk as well. Cam Smith of Live on the Line next here on BetQL Daily.